Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're here with us on a Monday morning. 27th day of the month. National Holocaust Awareness Day, I understand.
Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day. And maybe fitting as more hostages have been returned there in Israel. Although I'm not crazy about their agreement. You are getting some of these folks back still alive, which is positive, as they try to work through this this Gaza deal. And, you know, the president has got all kinds of ideas about relocating some of these folks from Gaza. Many of them don't have a home to go back to. And the only people they have to blame for that is Hamas. So that's something that is going to be talked about in the news today for sure. We're going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff coming up shortly because, of course, it's to call it a whirlwind. It just doesn't cover it. What's happened since Donald Trump got sworn in 1 week ago today at noon or 11 o'clock our time? It's just hard to comprehend how much has happened. Capped off yesterday with the news that the president of Colombia is going to send his private plane to get the Colombians that criminals that were sending back home to him after first saying the U.S. was not allowed to fly into his country. He changed his tune in a heartbeat, didn't he? Maybe it was the tariffs. Maybe he realized that Donald Trump was going to outfox him no matter what he did. So I thought that was fantastic. And we're going to get to more on all that for you with Jesse Jane Duff coming up. We got Tom Ackerman talk about the Chiefs' close victory yesterday over the Bills and what happens for the Super Bowl. We'll get his Super Bowl prediction here at the bottom of the hour at about 8:35. But right now, let's get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Welcome to the imperial presidency of Donald Trump. I can't think of a better way to describe the first 6 days of his second term.
That's Jonathan Capehart over at CNN. Did you expect anything less from the lamestream media?
For the next 4 years, I will not rest. I will not yield. And together we will not fail. We will win, win, win.
Winning, don't you think? Have you had enough winning for a week? I mean, it's unbelievable, from the news conferences in L.A. to schooling the president of Colombia. This has been a fantastic week.
No country says that temporary visitors, their children, will be given complete access to the benefits and blessings of American citizenship.
Yeah, that is the vice president there explaining why they're challenging anchor babies and the fact that people have been abusing a system that was not designed for that at all.
They're a good bunch out here. I'm glad Trump's here at the moment. You know, it's like daddy arrived and he's taking his belt off, you know.
I wonder, you know, Matthew, I don't know about you. I don't know how old you are, but I wonder if we're now getting to the point where there are generations who have no idea the impact of what Mel Gibson is talking about.
Not my generation. My generation still knows, but the one right after one probably, yeah.
Probably not, right? Yeah. The sound, one of the most horrifying sounds you could hear was the sound of that belt slipping out of those seven or eight belt loops on your dad's pants. and you knew what was coming next.
Or,
and you probably didn't do that again.
Or where all of a sudden the wooden spoon went from being involved in the cooking of the dinner to the disciplining of you. That was also the one where, why is mom not stirring anything anymore? Oh, no.
My goodness. It leaves an indelible memory on you. And the reason that all these years later I still have that memory is that I will guarantee you that I never repeated that action again after the treatment that I received from Dad, right? The worst one I can remember, Matthew, people are going to think I should have hotlined them. These days they would hotline you for this. The worst one I can remember is we were at my cousin's house, and they had a pool. And for some reason, the pool was empty. I don't know if they were working on it or what. And I pushed one of my cousins into it, like the shallow end. And they hit the pavement and got hurt. Dad sent me to the willow tree to get the limb to bring to him so he could pull all the leaves off of it, mm-hmm. And use it as a switch. And to this day, I've never pushed anybody else in a swimming pool. The point is, we have options in America, and some things work better than time out. Can I just tell you that?
I'll never forget what soap tastes like. Like that is burned into my memory. Yeah. I will never forget that.
That is Matthew Rocchio filling in today for Kim St. Ange, and we appreciate him coming in. Kim will be back a little later in the week. Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas in here as well to get you to work. So we'll continue to cover all of these things for you this morning, and you know, not the least of which is a situation that's developing in the city. And, you know, shout out to Mark Maxwell, the reporter over at KSDK. For pointing out the inconsistencies in the city and how they're spending this Rams settlement money, right? All these millions of dollars, all these opportunities. And once again, like Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football, the city is going to end up falling flat on its back. So they had a commitment from a bunch of civic leaders that said, if you will commit $100 million to downtown and fixing this, some of the problems, We'll double it. And the city didn't come through because they had too many pet projects they wanted to waste the money on. You know what some of those pet projects are? Free childcare for all city employees. And, by the way, if free childcare is not good enough for you, how about free college? Wouldn't that be fantastic? You might be able to get free college. According to Megan Green, listen.
Beyond childcare, the St. Louis Promise piece, which is helping to pay the last dollar of college education for kids, is also tailored towards city workers. So that means if you don't have young kids, but you have kids that are, you know, reaching college age, we're going to help you send your kids to college or trade school.
So the reason that they're spending all this money and giving all these perks to city employees is they claim they don't have enough of them and they're trying to attract more. Now, why not do that just for the police department? I got a good idea. You can't attract police. Now, obviously, this would apply to members of the police department, but they've had a problem with recruitment for a while. Listen to Maxwell describe how this whole thing went sideways.
An older woman, Alicia Sanye, said giving city workers discounted childcare could help the city recruit new hires.
We have a very aging workforce in the city of St. Louis. There's no department that you talk to that won't say that they struggle to attract younger folks who are of age. And so putting a benefit in, like childcare, when people are paying mortgages for childcare, could really help us to attract folks who are younger in our workforce.
The main takeaway, there's more than $250 million here, and still not enough to make everyone happy. As for the downtown investment piece, private investors were initially prepared to pump $200 million into downtown if the city would spend $100 million. But now, with the city lowering that amount to $60 million, the business community also lowering its offer of matching funds from 2-to-1 down to 1-to-1. So that shrinks what could have been $300 million combined down to $120
million. It's a sad story, but it just continues. By a group of people who've been gifted this huge payout from the Rams, and they're going to blow it. You knew it was going to happen, and now it's happening right before your eyes. It's like somebody who's never had any money winning the lottery, and then they're broke again in 2 years. It's head-shaking is what it is. Unbelievable. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff. We'll get to her on the fantastic week that President Trump has brought to our nation. We'll be back.
Mark, I've heard it from even our enemies. They call up and they say, sir, we hate you. We do hate you, but there's light over the world right now. They hate me. Some of them hate me. If they liked me, you got a problem, right? They like Sleepy Joe. What's not to like? You know, they'd call up. It's funny. I was told today by one of the big leaders of the world would call for a telephone call with the President of the United States a year ago. And it's a, we'd like to speak with, who is this? It's the head of Germany, the head of, it's, name it, the head of France, the name of any, to any country, it didn't matter. He would never pick up the call. They'd say, he'll call you back in 2 months. 2 months. Yeah, it's his schedule. He's extremely busy sleeping. No. Macron of France, he'll call you back in 2 months. So 2 months comes along and there's no call. They say, he didn't call. The stories are, I mean, these stories are not very exaggerated. I want to tell you, they're a little bit for laughter, but you know, it's only for laughter. The fake news will say, oh, he exaggerated. It was only 1 month, you know.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right. Jesse Jane Duff on the phone with us this morning. Jesse Jane, what a glorious past week in America. Can we all agree to that?
Oh, it's been absolutely thrilling and exciting. I mean, what an adventure that this country has been able to say that they were able to bring back a president that the previous administration literally tried to stop, impede, bankrupt, destroy, I mean, do everything possible, and even 2 assassination attempts. And he was able to come back because the American people said, enough already. You will no longer corrupt our country. You will no longer degrade our financial prosperity. You will no longer engage us in all of these foreign wars that are endless. We wanted safety, security, financial prosperity back, and that's why we brought back President Trump.
Well, we're only starting to realize how bad it was. I mean, just the availability of Donald Trump this week, whether the mainstream media loves him or hate him, and most of them hate him, they've had more access to a president this week than they've had in 4 years. And his story there about foreign leaders telling him we could never get Joe Biden on the phone. I mean,
absolutely.
That's scary. That is frightening.
It is frightening. And not only that, the press sat there and coddled Joe Biden and wouldn't even give them press time, to your point. And yet President Trump has immediately come out, and he's always been like this, been very open in having dialogue with the press. And J.D. Vance has quickly gone into the left-wing media and pushed back on their narrative of deportation. He has made it very clear that we are going after, first, the illegals that have committed crimes. 400,000 illegals that came over the borders by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration that had criminal engagement. And you've had Tom Homan push back and say, if you're here illegally, you will be vulnerable to being deported. And he names the law that they broke coming over. And then you have J.D. Vance going back and pushing back on the J6 pardons because they want to sit there and act as if all of these people were treated so fairly by this justice system, which in which we all know never happened.
Yes.
People that should have had just trespassing crimes were ended up put in prison for years.
Well, I don't know what happens next. I was looking today at the number of people that they've arrested, the illegals that they've rounded up. I think the number was 956 just yesterday alone. And I saw Homan up in Chicago, where J.B. Pritzker has promised to do everything he can to prevent ICE from doing its job. I mean, Jesse Jane, this is obnoxious, and this is going to end with one of these statewide officials in jail, I think, before it's all over.
I never want to wish upon anybody to have a demise or an arrest. But if you're going to openly defy what the U.S. laws state, Tom Homan is 100% correct if he's going to have to arrest such as the mayor of Chicago, yeah, who has tried to stand gallantly by illegals. Those illegals have been enabling one thing. When you have these sanctuary cities, the illegals have been taken advantage of by those cartels. The cartels have now infiltrated every single one of these cities and allowed drug trafficking, human trafficking, which has created crime and distress for all U.S. citizens and those who are here legally. It is not fair for every person who lives here legally and follows the laws to have to live in a sanctuary city where they're now protecting people from deportation, when in fact it's only increased harm upon our own society. Tom Homan's 100% correct, and these mayors are foolish to take that stand. They're not reading the room correctly because their own citizens have said, enough already. You've empowered all the illegals. You've given them health care. You've given them housing. And meanwhile, we have our own financial distress with our own homelessness and veterans on the streets.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Jesse Jane, we're up against the clock here. Have a great week.
All right, take the hill, motivators. We have our flag painted on top now.
Yes, we do. JesseJaneDuff.com. Always great to have Jesse Jane on. Coming up, Tom Ackerman. You know, if you're a Bills fan, you're probably pretty bitter after that couple of calls yesterday on the field. But the Chiefs won, and they're going back to the Super Bowl. We'll talk it over with Tom Ackerman in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Oh, congratulations, Patrick. We meet again in this moment. And now for you, you guys have the opportunity to head back to a Super Bowl and keep the chances of a three-peat alive. We knew it would come down to the wire. How do you even describe this one, this opportunity at hand?
I mean, first off, I want to give all glory to God. Without him, none of this is possible, and I truly mean that. And I'm just so proud of my teammates, man, how they responded. That was a great football team, and I'm just lost for words. I'm excited for New Orleans.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, we've got Tom Ackerman by phone this morning. And Tom, what another nail biter for the Chiefs last night, huh?
Yeah, good game, and the Chiefs won it and knocked out the Bills, and they are going to a Super Bowl and trying to do what no team in the Super Bowl era has done, win three straight. It is a dynasty, and some people hate that, and I completely understand that. I think that, you know, you hate teams that win all the time. I'm tired of them, you know, the Patriots and the Dodgers and the whoever else, although the Dodgers haven't won consecutive, but you know what I mean. I mean, it gets annoying. On the other hand, you know, Chiefs fans have every right to be elated. They were one of those teams for a long time that I actually admire. I am more drawn to the fan bases who have suffered. And so the Chiefs were actually in that category for a long time. They just for a number of years, for whatever reason, could not advance. And now they are in the middle of one of the greatest runs in sports history. They're going to have a chance to win a third Super Bowl. I think they can. I think it'll be tough against the Eagles. And I feel for the Bills on a number of levels because, A, you know, as I mentioned, their fans have suffered. They've never won a Super Bowl. They've gotten there multiple times but haven't won it. So, you know, you would love to see that fan base rewarded. Also, the officiating. You know, there was a call in particular, a spot that I did not agree with that, now look, you go, if you look on Twitter, all of Twitter is talking about how the NFL is rigged and they're done. They're not going to watch football anymore and blah, blah, blah. That's not true. A, you're going to watch football again. And B, the NFL is not rigged. The problem that I saw there, and this was about the 2-minute mark, they were going for it. And on the play was stopped and it should have been a first down. The spot showed that the ball carrier, Josh Allen, was short. The replay showed otherwise, that he was over the line. It's not about the NFL being rigged. It's about this stupid, antiquated way of spotting the football for first downs. I mean, we've got the technology now, I would think, to show that the ball is over the line. So, you know, it shouldn't be that the NFL, that the official just sort of trots out there and figures out where to spot the ball, and here you go. I think it's right here. I mean, you know, let's get down to it. And put a line out there that you can see. We have enough computer technology today that you can see if the ball crossed the line or not.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I saw Scott Jagow in the hallway this morning, and I gave him my condolences. God. He was not in a talkative mood, as you can imagine.
I have a 24-hour rule on that. I will not talk to any fan who took a loss like that for 24 hours. I've got to give them time. But you saw him. I mean, you can't just, like, ignore him. He's in the hallway.
Hey, Scott.
it is what it is. But, you know, look, I'll say something else about fans, because I mentioned Chiefs fans. I am not against Chiefs fans whatsoever. I mean, you root for who you want to root for. I think it's natural, though, for a lot of people to look at those fans and say, well, yeah, it's easy to be a Chiefs fan, you know, and especially those who sort of hop on and all of that. I get that. But if you're a Chiefs fan, just remember, they hate you because they want to beat you. And they right now are at the top of the mountain. Now, all of that said, I think the Eagles can beat them. They're only a point and a half underdog, and that line will probably shift a little bit here and there. The best player in all of football is Saquon Barkley. He's unbelievable. And you know, all he has to do is break one or two for touchdowns, and that game could be flipped very easily down in New Orleans. So I think it'll be a fun Super Bowl. I did put a poll out on Twitter. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Chiefs, Eagles, don't care. And it's very close. I think it'll go down to the wire. I think the don't cares will take it. The Eagles right now are just under the Chiefs. So last time I looked, they were all sort of in the 30s or high 20s in terms of percentage.
I am shocked at that, to be honest with you. I'm shocked that there'd be that, number one, there'd be that many Chiefs fans in the area, and that many just, I mean, like, I don't follow the NFL until, like, these games and the Super Bowl. I'm always going to watch. I make no excuses for it. Super Bowl is usually a party of some sort, so I'm going to be there watching the game as late as I can. But I'm still surprised that with the Rams gone and the city ready to blow all that settlement money, we can't figure out a way to support the Chiefs.
Support the Chiefs. So the thing about the Chiefs and Rams is that, and I will say that I was in your hometown of Cincinnati yesterday.
All right.
And I was there this week. So I was calling the UConn-Xavier game. What a great place to watch a basketball game, by the way. Xavier's awesome.
Yeah.
Xavier beat UConn. It was really fun. But I passed Paycor Stadium a few times, the home of the Bengals. And I paid tribute to them, you know, a little tip of the cap. And I'll tell you why. The Bengals were in favor of St. Louis. They voted against the Rams moving to Los Angeles. The Chiefs probably couldn't get to the voting sheet quick enough. They voted against St. Louis. And so that always kind of stayed with me. Now, I know the KMOX is the home of the Chiefs, and that is great. And we do that to accommodate many of Chiefs fans out there, and I appreciate them. But I'm not one of them. I mean, I root for St. Louis teams and my alma mater and, you know, a few other underdogs that I like out there. But no, I get it. I mean, St. Louis is, a lot of people are done with the NFL, or they're kind of like me where we watch it, but I don't have a team. I'm a very casual NFL fan where I follow the league and I enjoy and appreciate and respect the coaches who have made it to the highest level of football and the players. But I'm not a fan of any of those teams. I just kind of watch, play fantasy and that kind of thing. You know, outside of that, I really don't get – it's funny because I'm going from like 100 miles an hour to about 10, because when I was covering the Rams, I was all in. I mean, I was following every injury report. I was reading everything I possibly could about the next opponent. I was at Rams Park every day. I mean, I was all in on covering the NFL. I was traveling with following the team around the country. And now it's more Sunday afternoon, watch it for a little bit, turn it off, go take the dogs for a walk, maybe make some dinner, watch a little bit of the Sunday night game and go to bed. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that earlier, and I said the only time I've ever really had any interest in the Eagles, to be honest with you, was after that movie Invincible came out back in the early 2000s, and Vince Papale. And Vermeil was the coach, as Matthew pointed out. Vermeil was the coach of that team. So there's our connection.
Well, look, Yeah, it was. And let's talk about the Eagles for a minute. So the Eagles used to be that fan base that did not win the Super Bowl and couldn't do it and came so close, including here in St. Louis. They got beat in the NFC Championship game in 2001, that season, and the Rams went back to the Super Bowl. The Eagles did do it, though, recently. And so their fan base, if they win it again, they're going to become one of those hated fan bases where they're you know, the boorish behavior that they have in the seats, let's say, will not become tolerable any longer, and people will start to turn on them if they start to win another one. My wife, however, grew up in Philadelphia. She was born here in St. Louis. She grew up in Exton, right outside of Philly, lived there till she was about 16 years old, and then came back and finished high school here. So she's got Philly in her heart. She grew up around the Eagles and the Flyers and all that stuff were her two favorite teams. So as a household, we will be pulling for the Eagles for Angie.
Carl thinks that the Chiefs should invite the Packers fan that had the nasty words said about her there by the Eagles. They should invite her to the Super Bowl and pay for it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that idea. That's a great actually. Idea. Yeah. That's right. And they apparently aren't allowing that Eagles fan in the stadium anymore. He's done. His life is ruined.
Yeah. It's true. That's we'll good. See.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good Super Bowl though. It'll be a good one, a good matchup, and you know, I know that there'll be a lot of hype surrounding it and all that stuff. I will be sort of on the periphery of that, although we do have a reporter at the Super Bowl representing KMOX. I'll be, you know, my world really concentrates on Cardinals, Blues, City, SLU, Mizzou, Indiana, my basketball team, the Junior Rams, I mean, you know, MVC basketball. I mean, I have so much going on that I will pay attention, but it's not my number one thing.
Yeah, it's a good point. Hey, Tom, we appreciate you giving us a minute this morning. I know you were not in the station this morning, so thank you, my friend.
Oh, no. Man, it's always a pleasure. I'm just sitting here looking at my backyard, and my dog is at my feet celebrating his fifth birthday today. So he gets an extra treat today.
Happy birthday to Fido. We appreciate that. All right. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Thanks.
See you later.
All right. Thank you. Tom Ackerman there, of course, KMOX Sports Director. And obviously, he's not invested in the Chiefs as I thought he might be. Matthew, you any thoughts on that? Hang on.
I'm with him on that one.
Yeah,
St. Louis has gone full bore on the Chiefs stuff lately.
I know.
You know, you see them taking over rally houses, and Schnucks has their little pop ups with it all. But you know, when if you were a full time Rams fan, and that was me, I can't get into another team that way. It's never going to click.
I say hate, don't appreciate. I grew up in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
So I followed the Bengals. I went to the Super Bowl when the Bengals played the 49ers.
Oh wow!
When was that? About 1990. 89 or 90. I went to the game at Joe Robbie Stadium down in Miami, and I followed the Bengals from the time I was in high school, you know, middle school, all the way through. And then I moved to three different states and ended up in St. Louis, right?
January 89.
And as you get to a point where as the players you knew on that team start to age out and retire, and you know, Esiason, all those guys, and then the Rams were in town, and they started having a little bit of success. I mean, I was rooting for the Rams. I wouldn't root against the Bengals. I would just root for the Rams. So then when the Rams broke our heart and left town, and I don't know. I mean, I was rooting for the Bengals when they were in the Super Bowl the last time. But I like the AFC, and I've always had pretty good feelings about the Chiefs. So I'll wish them the best. I even got myself a Kelce jersey after they won the Super Bowl that last time. So,
but that's because he's a Swiftie.
I didn't know you were a big Swiftie fan. Okay.
Fair enough. This is before he ever, before she was in the picture.
Right.
He got put it that way.
2 years ago.
That's right. Before she was in the picture. And probably after she's out of the picture, I'll still have it. So we'll see. All right. More to come in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I've heard it from even our enemies. Could we speak to the president? Would that be possible? We could do it anytime over the next month. They're so used to this, right? I say, no, I'll pick it up right now. Is he on the phone? Yeah, hello, how you doing? That's what, you know, get it over with, right? Get it over with. The only problem, they were so starved for love from the United States, I cannot get them off the phone. I can't get people, if you can't, I say, I have to go now, King, or I have to go now, President. But you can't get them off the phone. They're starved for love, you know, for years they haven't spoken. They didn't even know we had a president, if you want to know.
So that was President Trump when he was speaking in Vegas this weekend, and he's joking about the fact that foreign leaders were calling the White House to talk to Joe Biden, and they would say he wasn't available. Like, there was nobody in charge. And the president's laughing about it because now I get him on the phone and I can't get rid of him because they've been so starved for attention. So, by the way, I just got to tell you, my buddy Charlie Dalton just walked in the studio. And if you're watching on the socials, he brought me an inauguration sweatshirt from D.C. that I asked him to pick up, a hoodie. And that is fantastic. And I asked him to hang out in the studio for a minute. Thank you. Charlie Dalton is in here. Among other things, he is an account manager here at the radio station as well. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Kind of glad to be home.
So if you want to buy any ads or anything on 97.1, this is your man right here, Charlie Dalton. Just call and ask for him. Welcome back. I'm anxious to hear about your experience.
It was completely different than it was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I went to the first inauguration. Obviously, a lot of people like yourself didn't show up. I had seven friends that were supposed to be coming, and all of them canceled. We were 120 miles outside of D.C. when we got the message. And then the lines were absolutely crazy to get into the Capital One Center, both for the rally and for the inauguration parade itself.
And you had tickets like I did. Like the rally on Sunday, you actually had an email confirmed ticket to get in, and they ran out of space. They must have overbooked it, I'm guessing.
Well, I found out that they gave away tickets to you and I and 249,998 other people. So everybody who got an invitation ticket, like you and I and many others, all were able to sign up for the Capital One Center. But it was all clearly first come, first serve.
Okay.
So you knew going in you were taking your chances, but you knew also that a lot of people like yourself and other friends of mine didn't show up. So we took our chances and went and stood in the snow and stood in the cold and had a great time. The camaraderie that was there, the people, you could feel the energy. There wasn't the negativity like there was 8 years ago. Other than we went to the Lincoln Memorial the day of the protest march.
Oh, Saturday? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd never been to the Lincoln Memorial. Every time I went to D.C., it was always closed. So we decided to go, and we just waded right through them, and even they were hospitable.
You had your Trump gear. Do you have Trump gear on?
Always.
Oh, of course. Of course. And they didn't, like, yell at you or abuse you or anything?
No, they did 8 years ago
when
we had to walk directly through the pink parade. It was a river
the
of pink
hat parade, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, they yelled at me.
So you got there, and you said you were a little surprised by the makeup of the crowd. Tell people that and what you attribute it to.
Well, what I found was there were obviously people from all over the world coming to this, and the number of people from other countries were significantly higher in the makeup of the overall crowd than they were 8 years ago. And I can only attribute it to the fact that canceling on a Friday morning, these people were already in the country for the inauguration. So apparently other countries get a lot of invitations to the inauguration as well. So, huh. But it was interesting.
You thought it was 50-50.
It was pretty close.
The crowd,
yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty close.
Wow. A lot of Colombians there, because I understand that we're shipping some of them back.
Well, you know, I didn't really get to specifics, and I'm not the best in the world with accents.
I'm just wondering, you know, maybe the Colombian president came up and you ran into him. So
we did stand in line next to the guy who portrays Trump and the other guy that does the Rocket Man.
Yeah.
They were in line with us on Monday to get into the inauguration, and they got turned 120 yards away from the checkpoint as well.
Charlie Dalton, thank you so much for bringing this fantastic inauguration sweatshirt back for me. I'll be wearing it proudly, and I owe you, I'll pay you in cash. I'll bring you some cash tomorrow. I appreciate
you, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank
you. You're welcome, and remember, I don't do Venmo.
I know that. You told me that. You said I'm a dinosaur. Just pay me in cash. I'm like, perfect. I love it. All right, Charlie Dalton, thank you. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. And, of course, we'll have at the Annie Fry Show, Mark Reardon after that. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.